tie it on over here just like that.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Ain't the Lord good?
Yes.
All the time. All the time the Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
Brother Don is doing some good preaching. We don't never need to give up. Just keep on praying, trusting God, depending on him. Because he's able. Amen. And we can do that because we that are saved by the grace of God are on the winning side. How many of you know you're on the winning side?
Hey.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day, out upon the waters deep and wide. But it all is over now, glory light is on my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in him so often I confide. He's a keeper of my soul, since I gave me full control, and he placed me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Amen. Isn't it good to be on the winning side tonight? Somebody said, preacher, there's something better than being on the winning side. I said, what in the world could that be? He said, been on the side that's already won. Amen. God is good, isn't he? On the side that's already won. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Well, it's hard to believe that it's Wednesday night. Seemed like we just started last night. Three nights flies by, doesn't it? And four nights and five nights just fly by when you're having a good time in the house of the Lord. How many of you got that King James Bible? Wave them just a little bit there. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Brother Mahan, for the privilege to be here, the invitation to come. And God is good to us. You pray for us now what is this month? September. In October, I'll be up in Stuart, Virginia, the week of the 21st, Monday through Friday night. So pray for us as we go there to Goodwill Baptist Church, Brother David Bishop. Y'all know Brother David? Okay. You ought to get to know him. He's a good man. And then I'll be there that week. And then November on the 11th, 12th, and 13th, I'll be up in Sparta, North Carolina, with Brother Ricky Cothran, I think is his name, for three-night meeting. So make that a matter of prayer, if you will, please. God is good, isn't he? Okay, if you're able to stand, I want you to stand and turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. And if you're not able to stand, you don't have to. Philippians chapter number 1, this is one of Paul's prison books and letters. And it talks about Christ, the believer's life, and rejoicing in spite of suffering. Now, Paul said in Philippians 4:4 to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So you and I that are saved, we can rejoice because we're saved and we're in Christ. Now, if you're not saved, you're not in Christ. But look at verse number 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Boy, this is a joy book. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Verse number 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now look at the joy triumphing over suffering. He said, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Brother, Christ is coming. You better believe it. The next great event, the preacher mentioned this before I started preaching. The next great event on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. You and I that are saved by the grace of God. And if you're saved, you're part of the church. You're part of the bride. If you're not saved, you're not going out in the rapture. I feel sorry for anybody that would be left behind. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He said in verse 12, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this good day. This is a good day. It's a wonderful day. Every day is a good day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you've helped us through this day, the most of it thus far. Continue, God, to bless and help us as we preach now tonight the unsearchable riches of Christ, the precious word of God that's forever settled in heaven. God, I pray there's one here tonight lost, undone, without Christ, headed toward a devil's hell, that you would speak to their heart and let them see the need to repent of their sin and get saved by the grace of God. Yes. Lord, capture the attention of every individual here in the house of God tonight. The devil will do everything that he can, Lord, to get our mind off of what's been said, what's going to be said, and get our mind off the preaching the word of God. I pray you'd give victory to each one of us, and may each one have an ear to hear and a heart to receive that is preached tonight. Encourage your people and strengthen them. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach on this subject tonight. Paul's message to the people at Philippi. Paul's message to the people at Philippi. Now we see about three or four things in these verses that I read to you that I'd like to point out to you. First of all, we find that Paul had some friends at Philippi. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must be what? Friendly. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In John chapter number 15. Christ Jesus laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I that are saved by the grace of God, that we might be saved by God's amazing grace. Paul, in verse number 1 down through verse number 11, you find that Paul had friends. Did you know that every man of God needs friends that will stand by him and help him? This pastor needs friends. I know he has friends. He's a friendly person. And anybody that says they don't have friends is testifying to the fact that they're not friendly. Because the Bible said that if we want a friend, we've got to be a friend.
That's right.
And we've got to be friendly. And Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times.
Yes.
When you're down, when you're up. When you're sick and when you're well. A friend loveth at all times. And so Paul had some friends in these precious people here at Philippi. How many of you have at least one or two friends? Would you raise your hand? Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
But if you don't have a friend, if you'll get friendly, God will send you some friends. Amen. Every preacher needs a friend that will stand by him and that will help him and will encourage him and will lift him up when he is down. And we all get down at times. We all get discouraged at times. And there's times things happen that we don't understand. There's times that things do not happen like we would like to see them happen. But that doesn't mean that God is not with us. And listen, some of us are getting a little bit older, just a little bit. But David said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That's in Psalm chapter number 37 and verse number 25. Now God's not going to fail us just because we're getting a little bit older. I mean, he will seemingly draw closer, and we can draw closer to him, and seemingly he's closer to us in our older days than he was in our younger days. Seem like the older that we get, the more that we have time to meditate on him and to read his Bible and to pray and depend upon him. Because in the Bible, in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, I quoted it last night, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, what your profession is, and in this world, I'm telling you that God cares for you.
Yes.
People in Washington don't really care anything about us. Care about themselves, and that's about it. Psalm 55 and verse number 22, the Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So you have a friend in Jesus. And I believe that you have a friend in your pastor. I mean, I believe that you are a friend to this man of God. If you're not, then tonight would be a good time to start. Be a friend to him and his wife. Be a friend to them. I believe he's a friend to you. Now, Paul had some friends here among these people. And they knew, and Paul knew that they were his friends. But I'll also let you know that they knew that Paul was their friends. Amen. What a blessing from God. Now, Jesus is my friend. But the best friend that I have on this earth, I have another friend. And the best friend that I have on this planet earth today is sitting right there.
Amen.
My wife. Her name is Renelda. You spell it Ronald with an A. Say amen. Hallelujah. I mean, she has been my companion for 49 years, and this coming November the 25th will be 50 years that my friend has stood by me and helped me and encouraged me. Hallelujah. And don't stop now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing from God?
Yes.
Do you have a friend? God wants to be your friend. And the people in this church wants to be your friend. Let somebody be a friend to you. Now, Paul knew that they were his friend, and he wanted them to know that he was their friend. How do you know that? Well, let's look at a few verses here that I just read in verse number 1. Paul talked to them, first of all, in verse number 1, about them being in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said. Paul and Timotheus, which was Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Hallelujah. Paul talked about them being in Christ. Well, how do you get in Christ? You get in Christ when you realize you are a sinner, when you repent of your sin, when you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you ask him to have mercy upon you and to come into your heart and to save your soul. And the very instant that you do this, Christ comes on the inside of you. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Isn't that a blessing? I was reading one time about a man that gave the illustration about Christ in you. And I thought it was a good illustration. He said, let me explain this thing concerning Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought, boy, I don't read that. He said, just like when you put the poker in the fire gets in the poker. Is that right?
Amen.
Just like when you put the sponge in the water gets in the sponge. Am I right? Just like when you put the body in the air gets in the body. And brother, when you repent of your sin and call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes on the inside. Amen. Woo! You are in him and he is in you. Praise God. Amen. And that's good enough for me. Say amen. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not complete in church membership. You're not complete in water baptism. You're not complete in being sprinkled. You're not complete in turning over a new life. No, sir. No, sir. You are complete in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I challenge you to take your dictionary. Take your dictionary, the Strong's exhaustive dictionary concerning the words in the Bible. And then take that other dictionary. What's the name of that dictionary? The other one we use a lot. I use a lot at the house there. Webster's Dictionary. Look up the word complete. Complete. And you will find that you cannot add anything to completeness. Nothing. There's nothing you can add to the word complete or completeness. And the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 9, verse 10, we are complete in him. Amen. Say amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Yes, sir. Now let me explain this. When my wife and I got married, she was a member of the Methodist Church, First Methodist Church in Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. I wasn't a member of any church. I was lost as I could be. Well, the Methodist people sprinkle. They sprinkle. That's not baptism. That's not baptism. I don't care who you might be tonight. Baptism means to emerge. And emerge means to be put completely under. And you don't get baptized to be saved. You get baptized because you are saved. And you're simply given a public illustration that you have repented of your sin and a public testimony that you believe in the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, my wife was a Methodist and she was sprinkled. And after we've been married, I guess what, let's see, I've been saved 45 years and we're getting ready to celebrate 50 years. So it's about 5 years, wasn't it? It was 4 or 5 years before I ever got saved. Well, when I got saved in the Baptist church, she moved her membership to the Baptist church where I got saved in. And then she followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Well, 2 years after that, we was in an old-fashioned service, independent Baptist church, an old-fashioned independent Baptist preacher, and he preached that Sunday morning on the subject of hell out of Luke chapter 16. And my wife handed me our child, our first child, Michael, and she went to the altar. And so I went to the altar. I want to know why she's going to the altar. So I handed my baby to our baby to somebody else that was there. So we got on the altar. And the pastor prayed with my wife that morning, and she realized that she had never been saved by the grace of God, and she bowed and humbled herself and called on the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him to save her. She got saved along with 9 other women that Sunday morning. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And then she followed the Lord in believers' baptism again, because the first time she got sprinkled, she was lost. The first time she got baptized, she was lost. But when she got saved, she followed the Lord in believers' baptism. Say amen. That is the first step to being obedient to a holy and a righteous God after you get saved. Amen. Now I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 9, verse number 10. I'll show that. Colossians is right after the book of Philippians. Just turn over just a few pages in your King James Bible. And the Bible said in Colossians 2 and verse 9 and 10, "For in him," that's talking about in Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And so Paul was their friend, and Paul talked to them about being in Christ Jesus. Please look at me just for a moment. You're doing a good job listening, but look at me. Do you know, and are you 100% sure that you're saved by the grace of God? Are you 100% sure that if you died in the next 5 minutes, that heaven would be your home? Is there ever a time that you saw yourself lost and on the road to hell, and you came to Christ just as you was, and a sinner that deserved to go to hell, and you humbled yourself and you called on the Lord and you asked the Lord to save you, and God saved you, and you became a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been a time like that? So he talked to him about Christ. Brother Mahan said he prayed for his brother for 20 years and he got saved. I prayed for my brother right under me for 20 years and he got saved. I prayed for another brother for 42 years and he just got saved last year. Last year. Are you listening to what I'm saying, friend? And we got folk in our church who's been prayed for the saved, and we prayed for some of them for 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, and praise God, we didn't give up, we didn't quit, and God saved them by the grace of God.
Amen.
You better keep on talking to your family about Christ and asking them if they're in the Lord Jesus Christ. Call them up on the telephone, write them a letter, send them a gospel tract, testify to them, get all excited, don't lose your enthusiasm that you've been saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb of the Son of God. So he told them about Christ. He talked to them about Christ. Then he talked to them about, my friend, the grace of God. Let's look at verse number 2, if you will, please. He said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God for that grace, don't you? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What did the Bible say about Noah? It's found in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If he found grace, he must have been looking for it.
That's right.
And I was looking for grace on June the 28th, 1970, when I walked down the aisle of the Brimsgrove Baptist Church and accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and the grace of God saved me that Sunday morning. 45 years ago, and I ain't never got over it and don't want to get over it. Why would I want to get over it? You got Jesus, you got the best. Ain't no use of looking for anything else.
Right.
Would y'all say amen?
Amen?
All of us say amen.
Amen.
Real loud.
Amen.
Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say bless his holy name.
Bless
I knew you could do it. Praise God. I knew you could do it. Amen. I'm going to heaven because I've accepted Christ, and you're going to heaven because you've accepted Christ. So he talked to him about being in Christ. He talked to him about the grace of God, chapter number 2. And then he thanked God for him in verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. What about that? Here's a man of God. The man of God wrote 14 books in the New Testament. And here he is in jail, rejoicing in Jesus, and he's writing a letter back to these dear folk and telling them, I'm thinking about you.
Amen.
Amen. If you got friends, they'll be thinking about you. Have you ever thought about a friend, and then you just picked up the phone and called them and said, hey, I've been thinking about you. What? I want somebody to think about me, don't you? Ain't it good to know that you have friends that think about you? And when they think about you, they're going to pray for you.
Right.
I need all the prayer I can get. And you need all the prayer that you can get. Say amen.
Amen.
I mean, I told some of them the other day, sitting in a church, I said, come on, let's go to the prayer room. You need to pray and I need to practice it. Oh, yes, brother. Paul was a praying man. David was a praying man. Psalm 55, 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. God sent him to preach, my friend, and prophesy to the children of Israel. They'd gone away from God. God didn't like that. Jeremiah was discouraged. Jeremiah got down and out, and he said, I'm just going to quit. But God said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 33:3, Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know why he can show Jeremiah great and mighty things? Because he's a great God, he's a mighty God, and with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1:37. Woo! Hallelujah, he's good. Paul said, I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. Isn't that a blessing? Verse number 4, he prays for him. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Isn't that a blessing? And then he talks about fellowship with them in verse number 5. Fellowshipping one with another. Isn't that a blessing? In unity, one with another. Not fussing and fighting and quarreling, but in unity, one with another. He talked about their fellowship. I can't fellowship with the world anymore now that I'm saved. You can't either, because we're in the light and the lost are in the darkness. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, what fellowship hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal, a Baal, or what part, my friend, hath you and I that are saved with an infidel? And that means an unbeliever. We fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen. And one another.
Yes.
I like it, don't you? Look what Paul said. He said in verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day, it said, until now, fellowshipping one with another. Hallelujah. I used to play in a bluegrass, and mostly bluegrass band before I ever got saved. Travel all over the country, up and down the road to Fiddler's Conventions playing, and the name of our band was the Stony Mountain Boys. The Stony Mountain Boys. You know why? I just figured out why we called ourselves the Stony Mountain Boys. Because every one of us was lost and had old hard, stony hearts. Amen. That's right. We'd sing several of those old bluegrass songs and didn't say anything about God. Then we'd all take our hat off and sing a gospel song. Are you listening? After I got saved by the grace of God, I told my wife, I said, well, we can still go to some of these Fiddler's Conventions. I said, let's go down to one there at Pinnacle where I used to go to a school out. And that was before they tore the old school down. I got down there and we stayed for about an hour. And I said, are you ready to go? And she said, I didn't want to come to start with. I felt out of place, brother. I felt out of place. And praise God, I saw some of those folk that I played with get saved by the grace of God. Isn't that a blessing from God?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. One of them died 1 year after I got saved. One of them died 1 year. And I sung a song, what a day that will be, at his funeral service. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God gives you new people. You love your old friends, but you know you can't go with them the places that you used to go and get by with it. You can't do the things that you used to do with those old friends and get by with it. You can love them and pray for them and let them know that you love them and Christ loves them and Christ died for them and Christ will save them just like he saved you. Say amen. When you get saved, you start drinking from a different fountain. That woman in John chapter 4, been married 5 times and shacking up with a man. And she met Jesus and she got saved by the grace of God. She left her water pot at the well. She didn't need the water pot. She had the, is it artesian well, bubbling up on the inside of her. And she ran back to town and told the men. She said, come see a man which told me all things which ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Woo! Y'all believe in shouting, don't you? I know you do. This ain't my first trip up here. Hallelujah, I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then verse number 6, Brother Billy, he gives them the blessed assurance that what God started, God would perform. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. I'm glad I can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, in spite of what the lying devil has to say.
Amen.
Look at verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That sounds to me like it's long enough. Amen. He's coming back, friend. You're right. You hit the nail on the head. The next great event on God's calendar is the snatching away of the church. Yeah. You and I that are saved by the grace of God, it'd be all right with me if he were to come tonight.
Yes.
Dear lady that died, her son's a member of our church, and we went by the funeral home tonight in Stokesdale to view the body and to be there with the family just for a little while before we came up here. She was 95 years old. And when we looked at her corpse there, I said to myself, where in the world is her wrinkles at? She didn't hardly have a wrinkle. That's why she looked before she died. They didn't just do a facelift or something on her, no. She was 95 years old and hardly had a wrinkle. Oh, you listen? Well, we go see her in the restroom. She was in one of the restrooms there in our town for, I believe, what, 3 years? 3 years? And, brother, we go by there. She'd be singing, praise God, like she was as happy as a June bug in a clover field. Oh, well, they're too happy or not. But she was happy. And I found out from her brother that was there tonight, he's 81 years old. I found out that, and she told us, my wife and I, she used to sing in a trio at church. She used to sing on the radio, used to go from revival to revival, singing the songs of Zion. And boy, I tell you, we'd go in, she wasn't able to get around much, and she said, I'm ready to go to my heavenly home. I'm ready to see my wonderful Lord and my wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, isn't that a blessing to know that you're able.
Amen.
Paul gives them assurance that everything's going to be all right. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Boy, I'm having a good time. Not only do we see that he talked to them about the grace of God, talked to them about being in Christ, talked to them and was thankful for them and prayed for them, and he talked to them about the fellowship, and he gave them the assurance that everything's going to be all right, then he longed to see them. He longed to see them. Now, you mentioned something about that before the service. You didn't know what I was going to preach, did you? God just put two and two together and made four out of it. How many long to see that loved one that's going on to be with the Lord? I watched tonight as her children came in to view her body, the lady that we came by, and that funeral home inside was probably twice as big as this auditorium. And when they come through the door back at the back and looked at that casket up there, and mother and grandmother was there, they started weeping. They started crying. I mean, they just stood there. They just stood there. My wife and I, when we got there, one of her daughters and son-in-law was already there, and she just kept standing there at the casket and looking at her mother and weeping. And then the grandchildren come in looking at grandmother and weeping. They're going to miss her. They're going to miss her. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I've got loved ones gone on to heaven. I miss them, don't you? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
That's enough to make a backslid Baptist get right with God and shout. That's going to be a wonderful day.
Amen.
What do you think Brother Ben and his wife is doing up there? Nancy, what do you think Mom and Dad's doing up in heaven? Woo! Shouting it out. That's what they're doing, praise God. According to this Bible, I believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, there's no hope for you anyway. God's good. He said, I'm longing to see you in verse number 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, verse number 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What about that? Longing to see you. My brother right under me was in the army for a couple of years. And he called me up. He was at Fort Gordon, Georgia for his training. and stayed there for a while, several months, and then they called him up, and he called me up, and he said, Mom and Dad didn't have no telephone. If I told this up here, I hadn't have. If I have, that's good. I'd like to tell it again anyway. He said, can you go down to Mom and Daddy's house? I lived about probably 6 or 7 miles from them at that time, my wife and I. And said, tell them that this was on something like a Wednesday, a Thursday, and could you bring them down to Georgia? I want to see them. They're going to ship me out to overseas, Korea, I think it was, for 13 months, and I won't get to see them for at least 13 months or better. Said, could you work that out, Brother Paul? And I said, I'll try my best to. So I got in the car and went down there to see him, and they said, if you'll take us, if you and Ronella will take us down there, we'll go. So we went down on Saturday and spent the night, and we finally got to see him on Sunday and spent a few hours with him. And my mother was longing to see him, and Daddy, and so was I, my wife. We wanted to see Brother Glenn. Are you listening to me? And we did, but it was 13 months before we got to see him again. But he got out 2 months earlier by going overseas and spending 13 months over there. But boy, you talking about a happy day. We all longed to see him. Oh, he was just marking the dates off on the calendar, brother. This will be another day less. This will be another less. I'm headed home, praise God. He had a longing to come home. He had a longing to see his brothers and his two sisters. He had a longing to see his friends and had a longing to see mama. Had a longing to see daddy. And he got to see us all, praise God, and he's still living today. Him and my wife are the same age. Isn't that a blessing from God? Yeah, I got as 11 brothers and 2 sisters in my family, 14 kids in my family. I've got 11 brothers and 2 sisters. One of my brothers died when he was 7 hours old. He just lived 7 hours after he was born. I've never seen Johnny Fountain, but I long to see him. Say amen. Amen. Our first grandson was stillborn. And my daughter-in-law had to carry him the whole 9 months, 24 hours before it was due for her to have that baby. He was dead. Jeriah is what they named him, Jeriah. And we held that little old baby in our arms, and we just talked to him. But he didn't hear nothing. He was dead. He was fully developed. And he was dead. And he would be 12 years old this year, wouldn't he? No doubt he'd be, tomorrow, he'd be 12 years old. He'd be like his brother, Isaac, playing basketball and playing soccer ball, and like his other brother, Samuel, that's turning 9 years old Thursday, am I right? Tuesday, next Tuesday. She knows a whole lot more about that than I do. She's a grandmother. She's supposed to be. But you know something? He never spoke to us, his mom and daddy down here. And you're talking about some broken hearts. I conducted that funeral service, and I really believe, Sister Nancy, I believe that was the hardest funeral that I've ever tried to conduct. Even though I know that he was with the Lord Jesus Christ, I know that according to the Word of God. But his mama and his daddy were so brokenhearted. It was hard to get through it, but we made it, sister, by the grace of God. Amen. I'm going to see him. I'd like to see him when he's 12 years old. He's probably about this high now. He would have been about this high. Amen. God's good. Y'all don't mind if I run over town back, do you? I'll be back after a while. No, just kidding. Hallelujah. I ain't going to get through this message if I don't just get with it, but I'm doing all right. Who cares? A whole lot of times I get the introduction and say, y'all come back tonight and I'll give you the message. I like it like that, don't you? God is good, yes, sir. So we find that Paul's message to the people of Philippi was a message of friends and friendship. And you find, my friend, he talked about his faithfulness. You know why they stood? I tell you why they stood, brother. They stood because Paul stood. You know why they were bold? They were bold in the things of God because Paul was bold in the things of God.
Amen.
Look what he said in verse number 18, 12 through 18. In all of the difficult times, you find his faithfulness in verse number 12. Look what he said. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest, made known in all the palace and in all other places. Why? He said, and many other brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that good, my friend? And some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am sent for the defense of the gospel. That's a blessing from God. He was a prisoner, not of Rome, but of Jesus Christ. And all of his chains were in Christ Jesus. What was he doing? He was practicing Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for our good and for his glory. Look at that verse of scripture, if you will, please. I want you to turn over there. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know there's a whole lot of things you and I know. There may be some things we don't know, but a lot of things we do know. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now let's get that again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Why? Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. He was practicing Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 28. And everything that we might have to go through with, I'm telling you that God is going to go through it with us. And we go through these things that we might be conformed more like Jesus Christ. Our trials, our testings, our temptations, our tears, all should bring us to humility and to get us to realize that God is making us more conformed to his son.
Amen.
Than we were before we went through the trials. Are y'all getting anything?
Yes.
Get it, because we're about done. Let me ask you something. What do you do when circumstances are difficult? What do I do when circumstances are difficult? We do like Paul did. We run to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to understand, brethren, that God's still on the throne. So we find Paul talked about his friends and friendship. He talked about his faithfulness, and I want you to be faithful, he said. Then he talked about his future. Verse 19 down through verse number 20. Paul wrote, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But he did more than just write that. Praise God, he lived it.
Amen.
It's easy for us to quote it, but it's going to be a little bit harder for us to live it if we get our eyes off of Jesus. Look what he said in verse number 21. I'm about through. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with who? Christ, which is what? Far better. Now look what he said in verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Isn't that something, my friend? Hallelujah. My youngest grandson is 8 years old next, this coming Tuesday. Nine, that's right. He's nine. See, I told you no more than I did about them kids. But back in the summertime, they go to Gospel Light Christian School, go to church out there. And after school, they put you in daycare for just that day. They don't stay there much, but that day he was there and he was playing and he fell. And he fell and he braced himself with this hand. And when he did, he broke two bones in his hand. And so they told him, they came to the doctor and they said, you're going to have a cast put on that. And then he had a place right below his, like bottom of his stomach was a hernia. Just 8 years old now. And it kept getting bigger and bigger. So the doctor looked at that and he said, while when we get your hand fixed up, then we're going to set a date, take care of that hernia. He said, it's not going to be that bad. We're going to fix you up, young man. You're going to be patched up like new. Say amen. Well, his daddy said when he started home, he said, he's just 8 years old. And he said, Daddy, he said, I just wish Jesus would come. I wish he'd come back today and I wouldn't have to go through all I got to go through with. Amen. Well, two broke bones and a hernia is a whole lot for an 8 year old boy to go through with. Slows him down from his activities, you know, and his sports and all that stuff. A lot of times we're the same way. Lord, why don't you just come on back right now and take us out of here? We don't know what we're going to have to face in the days to come, do we? Won't you just come on get us, Lord, and take us out of this mess that we're in and we won't have to worry about what we got to go through with. Paul said, Lord, I wish you would come. I'm ready for you. I wish you would come tonight, he said. And Paul, I really believe Paul expected to go out in the rapture. You read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. But he said, be a whole lot better, far better. I'm in a strait betwixt you. I have a desire to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ because it'll be a whole lot better on me if I just get out of here. But he said, it'd be a whole lot better on you if I stay. I teach you about Jesus. I tell the lost people that need to repent and get saved by the good grace of God. You know what God left us here for? To shine and to serve him. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, in Matthew 5 and verse number 16.
Amen.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I went to bed and I sang, this little light of mine, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine in me, oh Dan, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine in me, oh Dan, I'm going to let it shine. Amen.
Right.
Up here in Danville, I'll have to sing. Let it shine in Danville. We're not in Danville, we're in let it shine in Ringo, Virginia. I'm going to let it shine. Wherever you go, he said, praise God, let your light shine.
Amen.
The darker the night, the brighter the light. Amen. Well, I'm through. It's Wednesday, just as sure as your name is what it is. It's Wednesday. We've come through Monday night, come through Tuesday night. Then here we are through Wednesday night. And I'm getting ready to close in just a minute. We're going down the road about an hour and 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. We'll be back in Stokes County. Isn't that something? God is so good. Ain't the Lord good?
Amen.
Woo! Do you know the Lord tonight?
Yeah.
Have you ever been born again? Paul was ready to go. Let me ask you something. Are you ready to go? You think you didn't make much of Christ in this chapter? Christ is mentioned 18 times in this chapter. Christ was involved in Paul's life, and he is involved in your life. If you're saved by the grace of God, if you're not saved, he wants to get involved in your life.
Amen.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, in Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking on. Just me and the good Lord. Do you have an invitational song, Brother Billy, on that? Okay. You get that song if you're. This my water, preacher. This my water right here. Thank you, brother. You took the lid off for me. That's a blessing. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over the building. How many would say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved. Would you raise your hand right now? You know you're saved. Raise it real high if you know it. That looks like 100%. Thank you very much. How many would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart tonight about friends and friendship and about fellowship and about Paul's future. I wonder tonight, how many would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. You talked about the Apostle Paul in Philippians and how that he talked about his friends. And then he talked about his faithfulness and his fellowship and his future. Paul had to go through a lot, but he knew that he had a future that was more blessed than the present. How many of you got somebody in your family that's lost without God? Would you raise your hand? That looks like everybody. Why don't you come tonight? Brothers, you play that song, go right ahead if you want to. Why don't you come tonight and ask God to save your loved ones? Would